Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. In just a moment, we'll be studying about how Jesus cleansed the temple. Now, there are very likely two cleansings of the temple, one early in the public ministry of Jesus and one late in his ministry. Now, some think that John simply recorded his recording of this event out of chronological order, and so it's really all the same cleansing. But the way most people analyze this, they will see this as two separate cleansing, and that's the way we're going to study it here in these lessons that we're having of the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll find this in the book of John, chapter 2, the text, John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. And so we'd invite you to take your Bibles and turn to there now, and we'll be going along in a study of this verse by verse in just a moment. Now, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're in the midst of a prolonged study of the life of Jesus. And to guide us through this study, we're consulting the Sunday school notes that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of August the 17th, 1924. And so let's look at this account of Jesus cleansing the temple. John chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." Jesus went to this Passover from Capernaum. An account of the institution of the Passover is given back in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 28. This was the time that God told the Jews to apply that blood to the post of their door and to remain in the house, for death, the plague of death, would come upon the land of Egypt, and the firstborn of every household would die. But he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." This is one of the set feasts of Jehovah, which the Jews observed perpetually. They were commanded to do this, that they might not forget that day when they came out of Egypt. And so we see how they're told to do this, both in the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. This feast was observed in the place which God chose to put his name, and that means that it was to be observed in Jerusalem. And this was the first Passover Jesus attended in his first visit to the temple after his baptism and his public ministry began. So we read in John chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. "And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And he made a scourge of cords and cast out of the temple both the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers' money and overthrew their tables. And to them that sold in the droves he said, 'Take these things hence, and make not my father's house a den of merchandise.'" Well, Jesus found the temple those doing all this selling and changing of money. The sacrifices of these animals and birds were necessary for the services in the temple and were sold and bought in Jerusalem, and money was necessary to purchase these offerings and to pay the temple tax due from every Jew. This temple tax had to be paid in native coin, and foreign money had to be exchanged for it. Doves were there, they were being sold. Doves were the sacrifices of the poor. And there were other offerings. Thousands of oxen and sheep and kids and paschal lambs were required for these feasts. And since many from a distance could not bring them, they were allowed to purchase them in Jerusalem. But these things were not to be sold and bought in the temple, and the money sharks were not to make them matters of speculation. This market was held in the court of the Gentiles, and these men were simply taking advantage of the situation to benefit themselves and not to expedite the true worship of God as was should have been done. Jesus drove the animals out of the temple with a scourge of cords and poured out the changers' money and overthrew their tables. And to them that sold in droves he said, "Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." As we mentioned earlier, the temple was cleansed the second time. It is remarkable that Jesus' first visit to Jerusalem after his public ministry began and his last visit to it before his death were characterized by the cleansing of the temple. This lesson from John gives the account of the first cleansing. It is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that we have the account of the second cleansing. Only a few days before his death, Jesus cleansed the temple the second time. It seemed on this first time it caught them so unawares they knew not what to do. But on the second time, they're laying wait for him. And while it was still a powerful cleansing, they were determined to put him to death. On the second occasion, he said, Is it not written? "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but ye have made it a den of robbers." This house of prayer had been converted into a marketplace and a den of thieves, and was filled with the din of traffic, the noise of the bleating sheep, the lowing of the oxen, and the excrement of all of those animals. They had made the holy worship of Jehovah into something that was profane and worldly. In cleansing the temple, Jesus declared his lordship and his divine authority. He called this temple my Father's house. Now the temple was a type of the church, one of those things that foreshadowed that which is to come. And we can learn some things about the church as we study this temple. The beautiful and holy temple, the house of prayer and worship, was a type of the spiritual temple that God has today. The church is God's temple today. Paul says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, and such are ye. And your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit." Now that's 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. "And therefore, we should not defile our bodies, but keep our hearts pure and our bodies clean and our lives holy. And we should remember that while the temple was polluted, this evil doubtless made gradual progress from small beginnings. Gradually, the way of God had been perverted into this great sin through the deceitfulness of riches." Matthew 13:22, the spiritual temple of God may be profaned. Hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, 12 through 13, "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling from the living God. But exhort one another today by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. No doubt this buying and selling and making of gain off religious wares in the temple had begun, and these people had grown into these sins until such sacrificing and trust and such trafficking in sacrifices to them probably seemed right. And in this way, they made money. Paul says that now some suppose that godliness is a way of gain, something out of which to make money. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 through 11, that there be those that supposing that godliness is a way of gain. But godliness with contentment is of great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. But having food and covering, we shall be therewith content. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, to flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. To make merchandise of the gospel and to turn the things pertaining into the service of God into money getting is sin, of which this profanation of the temple was only a type. Let me read to you these two passages, one from the book of Titus, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. For there are many unruly men, vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, men who overthrow whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And Peter wrote in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privately bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and in covetousness shall they with feign words make merchandise of you, whose sentence now from of old lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not. This temptation is not just among the worldly. It can come among those who had proposed to be righteous. And there are many preachers who have corrupted themselves for filthy lucre. It may not always be what they teach, but it may be what they do not teach. They have a nice salary and a nice car and a nice house and a nice setup, and they're not going to put that at risk by offending those who provide those things for them with the truth of the gospel. And those men are as guilty of seeking after filthy lucre as those who were making merchandise in the temple in Christ's day. While the sacrifices under the law were necessary, and to buy them according to God's regulations was necessary, to make God's house in selling them a den of thieves was wrong and severely condemned by our Savior. I'm going to put a note there so we can return to this in the next lesson. Come visit with us when you can at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff.